Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the War Man Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the War Man. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you're at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode once a week, once every other week, once every 8 days. It kind of depends on how it goes. The other way to listen to the podcast is through the most efficient way by entering War Man Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and my show pops right up. Also enter Lord Gaul into their iTunes search engine, and it will also come up. Lord Gaul was my username back when I fell in love with kickboxing, when I was on the fight forums, K1 USA, Kakutugi, K1 fans. It's a different world now. We've got Twitter. But back when I got started, we had fight forums. So shout out to all the people who are still part of that community. And for the listeners who continue to follow my podcast, I really do love to do it. And I appreciate everyone that takes the time to listen to my podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. The K1 World Grand Prix had a... Well, their Grand Prix this year was for this event was at 57.5 kgs. And though I want to note that Yuta Morikoshi won it, the theme to this, as I look at it, you know, I really felt like no one really stood out the way I wanted them to. You know, I thought that some okay KOs, Ashizawa, Ryusei, My fault. I just got a message right as I was doing the podcast. My apologies. Back to business. Ryusei Ashizawa got a KO victory over Sylvia Vitez. And then we had Jorge Varela got a first round victory over Kato Ozawa. We had some stoppages here and there. We had Yuta Morikoshi gets a split decision over Elias Momodi. Momodi was a guy who I thought would go pretty far in this. And then also we had Hiromu Sekiteo as he gets a victory over Hirotaka Asashi. That was my first round, and after the first round, action was okay. Ishizawa looked good. I still thought at that point that Morikoshi would, you know, be one of the guys to look for as the tournament went forward. Jorge Varela, definitely, it's always good for the Japanese product if a foreign guy gets out of the first round. Clearly, their product is based off of finding a Japanese superstar. So normally they're going to have one side of the bracket will be all Japanese fighters and the other side will be all European fighters. And maybe they have one fight with, you know, two Japanese fighters just to make sure, to ensure that a Japanese fighter moves on to the next round. This tournament in general, I didn't really feel like it popped out. And I thought that it was a good star-making opportunity. But as we talk about the next round, as Yuta Morikoshi gets a victory over Jorge Varela, and then we had Hiromu Sekiteo gets a victory over Ryusei Ashizawa. At that point, I was like, good victories, but no longer am I like all in on this person's going to be a star. They're going to have to give me more. Yuta Morikoshi ends up getting a KO stoppage over Hiromu Sekiteo, and as I mentioned before, I just didn't feel like, you know, shout out to Yuta. I want to see him more. I'm curious to see what his future is going to bring. But for sure, in the time that I did see him, I wasn't sold on him as a killer. You know, and again, it kind of goes to how the tournament plays out. You know, we had, I believe he went to an extra round, if I'm remembering the tournament correctly, for the Jorge Varela fight. And he went to an extra round with the Elias Momodi fight and a split decision in that extra round. It's like I saw him for so many rounds that when he got a stoppage, I didn't feel the excitement of, okay, this guy's going to be a killer down the road. Doesn't mean that he's not going to be a killer down the road. It just means that my feeling after this one was done, I wasn't all in on this guy's the next superstar. I felt after, you know, I look at some of the earlier tournaments when Koya Robe was able to have success. I was like, man, well, of course, I was big on Koya before the tournament, but it's like, this guy is going to be a star. You know, some of the early work from Masaki Nori, I was like, this guy's going to be a star. Like, I knew it right away when he won the Koshin tournament. Like, even before, when I watched some of the fights that they had put online for me to follow, I said, of the fighters, this guy's going to be the one who's the best. And I got to watch him emerge and become that kind of fighter. And, of course, Takuru. Those kind of guys sold me on who they were after early performances and tournament victories. I just am not sold on Yuta Morikoshi as a star in that way. Give it some time. Who knows? Maybe they bring in the right kind of guys to develop him. He gets some stoppage victories and we're all in on him again. But as of right now, not super sold on him skill-wise. But hopefully it'll all work out, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the future comes for Yuta Morikoshi. Other fights on the card, Yuki Egawa gets victory over Yuta Otoke Taki. They open the fight up, or fight card up. Just Egawa too much, very, very strong with punches. Gets a stoppage early there. It's funny, when you get out there, there's like nobody in the crowd, but you know you got to put on a show. That's what Egawa did. Went out there, got a stoppage, did work. Who cares if there's, 15,000 people or five? You got to do your work. Good stuff there. Also, there was a split decision by Hisaki Kato as he gets a victory over Makoto Ohara. This is a little bit bigger weight class, and you could feel right away that the crowd wasn't in it. Good for Kato to win, because they've used Makoto before. He's fought in glory. He's a guy who they've pushed and put some time behind. But man, the feel of it was, I saw someone on Twitter say, heavyweight fight, time to get something to eat. You know, it's just, people are not all in on their heavier divisions as of yet. So they're just going to have to do more developing. You know, they're going to have to do. Once upon a time, it was the opposite. They had no small weight classes. They had the whole world waiting for the big weight, the heavyweights that they had, and then some for the max. But they are far from that now. And that was, we're in 2018 right now. So that was 2011. So, we're 7 years removed from when the whole world was all eyes on Japan for the heavyweights. It's going to take some time. They'll have to develop it. They can do it. It's just going to take some time. Yoshihiro Kido gets a victory over Masaru Gunder. Masaru Gunder, the story of this fight is clearly the definition of holding and who's holding. And Gunder has got it's just not gone his way. Sometimes he'll be in a clinch, and sometimes someone will clinch him back, or sometimes he'll hold, or sometimes someone will hold him back. But he always seems to be the one that gets caught. And now some people say it's because he's foreigner and, whoever, whatever. I thought that Glunder had some good moments in spots. I thought Kido had some good moments offensively in spots. So it wasn't like it was a landslide. But I do feel like Glunder, and I'm sure he was feeling it, because I think the last time he fought was against Masaki Nori. And in that one, he had been penalized, lost the point, things didn't go his way. And this one more so. It's like the ref was picking on him. And there were times where the ref would call for a break, and Kido would throw something late, throw an extra knee, throw an extra punch. And I could see that it was starting to get to Glunder. Like, he was upset about it. And then the clinch, how he was the only one getting blamed. And gets card twice, gets a red. And when he gets the red card, he's literally so sick of the ref. Like, he kind of like shrugs him off and walks away. And they give him a red card and they disqualify him and they call the fight over with. Now, back in the day, that used to affect purse. I don't know if they still do that where, red cards and yellow cards affect the purse. I don't know if they still do that. But man, it's just, we didn't really get to see a fight. It was just so gritty and grimy, and there was a lot of holds, and just wasn't the clean performance that we wanted. Gunder will be back, next month. I think he's scheduled for glory, but man, it's he should still be scheduled for glory unless injury or whatever. But man, it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to throw his offense. He wasn't able to get into his flow. It's unfortunate that Yoshihiro Kido, who's he didn't want to win that way. He's very respectful afterwards. Came over Mike Pastagnore. He conducts himself so well even when he's extremely mad, and I thought he did a great job of just calmly explaining the situation, walking thing, just saying he disagreed, gave his due to Kido and focused on this guy. And I'm sure in the back they were really upset. After Glunder lost to Nori, I saw Mike at a glory event. And when I saw him at the glory event, I asked him about that. And he says, hey, you don't know how it happens. He says, sometimes they would go for us decision-wise in the hold. Sometimes they'd go against us. Overall, we felt like he was holding us more, but what can you do? And I just thought that's why people love Mike. He's just such a professional. Doesn't go his way. Off to the next fight. Gunapar Wereskrek gets a victory over Rikuyo Anpo. And Gunapar is just the perfect example of how to execute someone despite what their stance is. Power straight left hand, power hooks upstairs, power straights to the left to the body, big time low kick to the back rear leg on the outside. Gunapar just walked Rakia down, never gave him any space, never get going. Rakia never got going, never found an opportunity where he could throw and land consistent offense. He was back down from the start. And Gunnar is hittable. He's there to be hit. He's been stopped several times. But when I look at this, I'm thinking to myself, man, I really, really think that if we're going to have a, if Rakia's going to, like, improve as a fighter and grow and beat elite guys, outside of that, he tried like a fancy kick here and there. He has to have substance if he's going to beat some of these better guys. And if there's one thing Gunnar Parr brought, it was substance. Like, he was so strong, stood right in front of him and really got him in trouble. One of the knockdowns he scored, he put, was a perfect 2-3. He put the two to the body, like right in the middle of the chest, and then he ripped the hook upstairs, scored clean, got him in trouble again. And when he had Rakia in trouble, I thought Gunnar Parr did a great job of patiently picking him apart. He didn't just go off there weighing power shots. He kept on the low kick, the rear leg. He kept on the body shots. And then the big shot opened up. In the end, I believe he finished it with a 2-3-2 and just absolutely blew Rakia out. Just absolutely awesome. Can't wait to have that in my year in kickboxing highlight. Big time KO. Good stuff by Gunnar Parr. Always fun to watch. They will always use him. As I mentioned before, and I've mispronounced the name a million times, but Wura Sukrek is the Fairtex gym in Japan, I believe. And I think that Gunnar Parr is a regular. I think he lives in the area. I think that's why they use him all the time. He's all action. More of this guy on TV, period. Hideki Yamazaki gets a victory over Jin Nakazawa. Yamazaki is an awesome fighter. Consistent. He's going to get some wins here and there. He's got a tournament win back in his past. This is a solid victory here. Nothing to scream about, but him being active and getting fights will prepare him for more elite level guys down the road. So good stuff there. Minoru Kimura is his KO victory over Kazuki Yamagawa is just a product of just being bigger and meaner. Like, he literally from the jump came out, hands a little low, threw power shots, rips to the body, walked him down. He threw big in exchanges, and the KO that came at the very end was just set up really, really well. He did a double jab to get himself close earlier in the earlier before the KO, and then he tried the check hook the first time. And when he did it, he realized that his double jab had forced Yamagawa away more further than he wanted, so he missed. So the next time he came in, he kind of came in and he did it with a level change. His body kind of comes low and he loads up, and then he rips the leap hook right behind it, scores clean on Yamagawa's jaw. Big time KO win. Minoru Kimura then goes over and looks into the crowd, arms behind his back. It's got this kind of vague stare. He used it in the last fight that he won by KO. He just kind of stares off, and the camera, they know where to go. They put it in the perfect position, and they look down on him. It's selling yourself. And afterwards, he looked at his corner. They were supposed to come in and do something too, but it looked like they weren't as confident. So one of the guys came in, and he kind of did a pose behind him, but he wasn't as confident as Minoru Kimura, who came in there from jump, expecting the KO, went for the KO, won by KO. So, good stuff there. Koyorobe, of course, you guys know I talk about in the show many times. This guy is so special. I mean, it was a pleasure to see him so early in his career, and that's why there's the joke that he's my kid. You know, and it's because I seen him so early in his career develop to where he is now. This guy is special. Like this guy can really, really fight, really find his offense. Arthur Sozer came out really consistent with what I would call a Thai style of game. A lot of body kicks, movement. Like, he played it strong. Koyorobe started to play with his combos, play with some kicks some. Then they really started scoring the step knees. And then Arthur, just kind of proving that his body was strong, would kind of just punch his stomach, call him on, punch his stomach, call him on. He stood so strong. And I was like, oh, okay, this is the kind of battle that, you know, you want, that you want to see from a guy who's coming on the road, who's trying to upset someone. You want to see him be mean and show toughness and grit. Fortunately, skill still determines who wins most fights. And Arthur wasn't able to get his offense going. Koyorobe, patiently, he fired a 1-2, pulled the shoulder back, fired another 2, scored the first knockdown of the fight. Very slick stuff. Arthur Sozer's hurt, but he's able to get up. He is pushing the pace. He's looking to try to get back in the fight, but Koyorobe is scoring consistently. Then Corey Robey scores a straight left, then steps back. Arthur Surcer fills the hole, as I call in my practice, or as I say in my gym. He fills the hole by stepping in to pursue. Or Corey Robey had a switch kick waiting on him. It scores right around, I'd say, under the ear, right along the jawline, scores a second knockdown. Arthur Surcer's got to survive again. Two knockdowns, 10-7 first round. Now it's a formality. What's Arthur going to come out with? The grit and the aggression that he had early was not there. In round two, Corey Robey, ready to go. Very, very strong, pushed the pace, threw punches and bunches, was able to find his KO, with, I think it was a hook. And, Arthur was game. Like, he was trying to get up to the very end. He was just going against a better guy. And that is such a thing. Right now, every coach in the world is training a gym of fighters, and the fighters are all doing their best to compete at their highest ability. The person who wins is very, very much determined by the person who's the better of that group is the one who develops skill the fastest. And, athleticism comes into play, but skill in the end will win fights the majority of the fight, more the majority of the time. Corey Robey, very solid athlete, but a very good fighter. He gets a KO stoppage here, and I'm a proud dad as one of my kids win. Going to kid number two, Masaaki Nori gets a victory over Vincent Fasciani. For me, this is all about just the patience of Masaaki Nori. He's never in a rush. He came out power right hand, power knee to the, step knee to the body, power body kick, low kick to the back rear leg. And I thought that Vincent would have moments where he would try to look for something consistently offensively, but Nori didn't give him a pace where they would just kind of play the same combination kick return that you get into when you go against a lot of guys who've got, like, almost what the Dutch style is, or the flow of kickboxing that's very, very popular in Europe. Nori's just so patient, looks for his shots. He can get into a combination low kick game, but he likes to build. So the first part of his building stage is, can I score power shots? Can I score power singles? Then he'll add the hook low kick, then he'll add the cross hook low kick, and by the end of the fight, he'll stream together a long combo and put a chop on the end. He gets southpaw in front of him, plays the power game a lot more. Every once in a while, Vincent would throw something, but Nori would just wait it out. Vincent scored a knee that was somewhat a pretty good score for him, I'd say around the 2-minute mark, and he wanted it again. So, closing the distance, he realized that he was in range to throw the knee, so he let it go. Unfortunately, Masaaki Nori was already in the exchange process. He was already throwing hands. As soon as he saw that he had Vincent on one hand, one leg for the step knee, he continued to let his hands go. Power right hand to the body, right underneath the elbow. First knockdown scored. Like Vincent winced in pain, dropped to the ground, but he got up, determined to fight on. We go to round two, and Nori started off the round trying to find the body shot, trying to find it again. Really started to put combos together and look to go downstairs. Then I think he realized, you know what? This isn't going to get me the stoppage to the body that I want. I'm forcing it. Back to the low kick work. He really stayed consistent in the back rear low kick. I can get to the body later. Right now, I started investing in round one in the low kick. I'm going to go back to that. I don't know if this was a corner adjustment or if this is an adjustment he made. That's what fighting's all about. That is what this game is about. It is what you do when you're in there. And this is very important. I'm a guy who's had the wonderful pleasure. I've got kickboxing, titleist. I've got MMA world champion. I've helped several guys get to UFC. I've worked with several guys in the UFC. I've had the opportunity to see elite levels and low levels, and I've seen the emergence of someone from the beginning to the end. I don't care how great your coach is. Ain't nobody fighting me in fight night. It is up for the athlete to figure it out. And you want to have a coaching gym environment that helps your athletes grow in skill. But on fight night, it's not so much that you're a video game. It's cool that I can say something, you could do it all the way right away, because it means that we're in there together. But the elite can figure stuff out in the ring. They can figure it out in the cage. Masaaki Nori figures out, I'm going to have to go back to something I was using before, and maybe that will get me the body shot that I wanted. And lo and behold, it did. He got back to it, really started working his combination of low kick work, power kick to the back rear leg work, combinations upstairs here and there. And then all of a sudden, after the low kick gets hurt and after the attention for Vincent changes, he throws the hands and he rips a left hook to the body in the opposite side. Down goes Vincent Fasciano. That's it. Or Fasciani, that's it. KO victory from Masaaki Nori. Anything's good for Nori. He's the champion of the weight class. I would like it if him and Yamazaki could do it again. because, of course, they met in the tournament, and I thought that Nori had taken the wear of the fights before. And I think that him and Yamazaki would be fun. Five rounds would also be fun there. It's just good stuff from solid card from K1. Had a lot of KOs. But I don't think the tournament winner, congratulations to him, but he didn't sell me. You know, he didn't sell me on it. And it's just the nature of the tournament. As I mentioned before, the finalists were a guy who won by decision twice and the other guy won by extra round decision twice. Like, that is a lot of, you don't get that buzz for the last fight, even though the last fight ended in the KO. So hopefully, you know, Morikashi, they will move you in a way that, or Koshi, I should say, they will move you in a way that helps you to become more of a star. But right now, not there. Not there. Not yet. Not yet. Koyorobe, Misaki Nori, Minoru Kimura, Nori, Arabe, stars, very good fighters. Kimura, okay fighter, solid fighter, but still a star because people want to see him. Good stuff from the K1 card. I'm going to go ahead and talk next because a lot of people have asked me about it, of course, and they should ask me about it. I got the question on Twitter, so I will make sure that I address it appropriately now. Also, I want to give a shout out to the gentleman who asked me the question on Twitter. So I just went to look it up just to make sure I had it right. The Linguist Monk, this guy who follows me on Twitter, we follow each other. He usually posts something or I post something about fights. Shout out to him who asked me the question, what did I think of the Tenshin Nasukawa Rodtong Jikmungnong fight? This happened at Rise 125. And first of all, it was one of the better fights of the year. Tenshin Nasukawa is, of course, up-and-coming prospect who, I still say prospect, I don't think anyone considers him the best fighter in the world at that weight class, but they think he's on his way. And they think that there's a big-time matchup between him and Takuru, which is going to be super special when it happens. We're letting it simmer a little bit. We've also had some news that because Tenshin is asking for the fight with Takuru, people are making a big deal out of our K1, like did a lawsuit thing where they're saying, hey, don't infringe upon our name. Stop using our champion's name to build your brand and build your fight promotion, whoever allowed them to say it on camera. It's just some dumb stuff that they're just doing. In the end, those two are going to fight. But a couple days ago, he goes against Rodtong. And the question for me, of course, is as far as how I viewed this fight. First of all, I had no problem with Tenshin Nasukawa winning. The rounds 1 and 2, I thought that he was the slicker guy. And I think you can make the argument that he won at least one of the last 3 rounds. So I can make an argument for him winning. I'm fine with the decision. But one of the reasons why I think so many people like Rodtong for winning this fight is because of how freaking strong he was. Like, he was so strong, and even though he got hit and hit hard, he just kept coming. And he brought the fight. And the flow of the fight became, first he was just, you know, Tenshin was just a little bit slicker, and if they got into an exchange, Tenshin would win the cleaner shots in the exchange. But Rodtong was not stopping, and he kept firing the body kick, he kept walking him down. I really can't stress to you enough how talented this guy is. Like, he is something. And I think that despite the skill that Nasukawa was delivering towards Rodtong, his own skill and strength showed up so well with the body kicks, with the pressure. He would throw in flurries. He'd rip to the body nonstop when he got his opportunities. He'd let that, you know, that power leg kick go. He just stayed on him. So it felt like Nasukawa was moving. And Nasukawa said it himself after the fight. He said, I got the decision, but I felt like Rodtong won the war. I see that as the perfect breakdown of what happened in this fight. Because really, it was Nasukawa came out. I thought that he'd land cleaner and slick in round one. Round one, I feel, was the clearest round for me to call for Nasukawa. Round two, he was able to score well, move well, and score some shots. If there was an exchange, Rodtong might be landing, but he'd land on like the shoulder, or he'd get like a shot on the side of the neck. Not as strong, but it still threw it hard. And Nasukawa would make him stop, like his head would move, like he'd make Rodtong's head move, he'd make his body like stop in motion, like he was landing clean shots like that. But when we got into round three in particular, he started in round two, but 3 and 4 really picked it up. Rodtong just kept punching his chest, kept calling him on, let's bang it out. I don't care that you won the exchange, we're just going to keep banging out until you go down. I don't care how many times you hit me. it's that kind of like grit that made the fight great. And this was another great fight. We kept getting great fights in the past 2 months. K1 Glory, like they were starting to see, even some of the smaller organizations in Fusion, you are starting to see some elite level back and forth fights that are showing the best of the sport. And this is just another example of it. So I think that Tenshin Nasukawa, I can make the argument that he won 3 rounds. But the feel of the fight, I can't stress to you enough. Man, it felt like he just couldn't get Rutong off of him. Like he just, Rutong was just bringing the battle. So when you get to round 4 and 5, it's just Rutong just walking through everything and still looking to kill him. And Nasukawa scoring and getting away and then staying there for an exchange, but then realizing this will be the longest exchange of my life. I've got to move. The feel of it definitely leaned towards Rutong. But Tenshin Nasukawa wins. He moves forward. We'll see what he does. He's proud enough. He's like, he's the kind of guy that would do a rematch. Rutong took it hard. Like if this is my big opportunity to get a big win in Japan. If I don't win here, they're not going to bring me back. Like, he took the loss hard afterwards. He didn't play that hands up, I gave it my best effort thing. He wanted to win. And if you go on the road, you fight someone in their hometown, their home country, treat it like that. Be devastated if you lose. Don't be happy that, hey, they flew me out to Australia. They flew me out to Japan. They flew me out to England. Don't be happy to show up. Fight, leave everything in there, and be hurt if it doesn't go your way. Losing should hurt. You know, you should want to win so bad that when a loss happens, you are disappointed. Now, you don't want to rest in it, especially in kickboxing. It's off to the next one if it doesn't go your way. But you shouldn't just go, you know, smile off of a loss. Like, you just got to go back to it, be ready to battle. We're going to go ahead and go back to, we'll go back to states. We'll go to the U.S. on this one. Friday Night Fights had a promotion that got down. Friday Night Fights is a Muay Thai promotion. It's been doing it for a long time. I fought for them 1 billion years ago. And they had a pro card. I won't talk about all the fights on the card. I will talk about the main two because they have international stakes, if you will. Troy Jones gets a KO victory over Aurel Abreu. Troy Jones is a guy who I pushed to get on Glory. The moment I got the job, the first guy that I pushed to get into Glory was Troy Jones. And then he went out and had a good performance back in L.A. And then he fought in his hometown of Minnesota, and he won by elbow KO after that. And then this past, a couple Fridays ago, he gets a beautiful, he starts off strong, he scored a power right hand early in the round that had Aurel Abreu in trouble. And then as he's closed in the distance, he does a switch knee with the left hand, power right elbow, KO clean. Clean KO, Troy Jones wins. The kid can fight. He's a very, very talented fighter. He's got tools to have successful offense from both stances, and you guys know how I feel about that. For me, if you're going to switch stance, it's because you have a way to win rounds in the other stance. If you're doing it just for diversity or just to give a different look and you find yourself getting hit or you can't land effective offense from it, I don't think you should switch stance. I think you should always be in the stance that gives you the best opportunity to win rounds. So if you're going to play switch stance, for me, it means when I'm an orthodox guy, I'm going to play combination low kick, combination low kick, combination high kick every once in a while, combination low kick. When I'm a southpaw guy, I'm going to play with my switch kick because I still like my right leg, and I'm going to play with my straight left hand. Those are going to be my ways of winning rounds. When you switch stance, you should be able to win a round in that stance. If you're just switching just because you're switching and you're not landing any offense, you're just moving around in the stance, you can't fight switch stance. You're whack, son. I'm just going to go ahead and say it to you. I say it to people in the gym all the time. For me, Troy Jones can do it both stances. Like, he's got a game plan for both. He comes out, great performance here. Troy Jones moves on, bigger and better things. It's just about better international opportunities for him now and, of course, building his Glory resume. Troy Jones is that deal. Ogden Topic gets a victory over Miguel Martinez. And Ogden Topic, coming off of his one fighting championship, whatever you want to call it, he fought kickboxing for them, and he won. Very good style, very, very good work rate. I like Ogden Topic. I wish we had their weight class because I would have hit him up right away. But he's repping New Jersey Muay Thai. Does a good job all the time. Big time win for him. Happy that he got this victory and that he's going to move forward. I am all on board for him. So there are other fights in the card, but those are the main two that had the international consideration, if you will. And I want to make sure that, and of course, it doesn't mean that guys on the card, the undercard, weren't going to have that kind of success. It just means that those were the big time standouts for me anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and keep things rolling. There were Top King came back and did a card. I'm trying to hold on. Let me go through my notes. I forgot to put where this card took place. It took place in Surat Thani, Thailand. Sorry. I normally have that set up. I didn't have it set up at the time. Please forgive me. But I won't talk about all the fights in the card. I just want to talk about a couple because, as I mentioned before, they've got international stakes. Yod Kumpol gets victory over Fabian Hunt by decision. Yod Kumpol, he fought international before. He's fought a little bit of everybody in Thailand. Okay name for the international scene. Not great, but okay. Avatan Sor Masri gets a victory over Pech Sungan. Sor Chanaset knockout. That was in the second round. I didn't get to see that one, so I apologize. So my breakdown of that won't be full. I'll go ahead and wrap it up with one that I did get to see. Jovica gets a victory over George Salmon. Jovica has been fighting international for a few years now. And this is a guy who was a legit stadium champion. Legit, very, very good, very, very talented guy. Who there was a period of time where he was on a win streak and you didn't know what he could win with whatever the person's style was. So if you were a clincher, he's like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and Pech Buchu, I'm going to clinch with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get in there. We're going to clinch. If you were trying to score points, he's like, or no, I'm going to kickbox with you. Like, he went out there and he went in this great winning streak. And the streak was, I'm going to fight you and I'm going to try to beat you at your style. And he really was legit. Had some international opportunities. There's a loss here and there. But I'm glad that he was able to travel, see the world. We'll continue to travel and see the world because the dude can fight. So I'm all about him fighting. Good stuff there. There were a couple other ones. Shajaron gets a victory over Ilya Grad. Rafi Bohic got a victory over Hans Zeho. There's a couple others, but those were the standouts. But I really wanted to talk about Jovic and what he did, Top King. Top King, man, they went away. They had a really good first year and a half. Hopefully they can be consistent again because their shows are a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We will go ahead and move on to, I guess I will give you guys some, we'll go some Infusion next because I enjoyed this fight a lot as Tayfun Askin gets a stoppage victory over the very game, very tough Muhammad Kamal. Here's my thing. Kamal is a very good fighter, but unfortunately, and I've seen this happen in fights before, one of the first hard shots he took was early. So Tayfun Askin, they both got into their flow. And Tayfun Askin, I'm curious if he was injured in this one. He almost never threw a right outside low kick or his right high kick. And that's one of his go-tos. He left it alone. He only played with the left leg. He played inside kick. He'd go combo, inside leg, combo. And Tayfun, top of his game, one of the best fighters in the world, really put offense together throughout. Muhammad Kamal came out very aggressive, threw power shots, threw kicks here and there, but really focused on the power shots. It was similar to watching when he went against Kishinko back in the day. Like, he was committed to throwing the hands, didn't focus on the kicks as much, just got into the range and just threw power shots, and those would be the shots to help him move forward. Tayfun Askin took some shots early, but just, professional shots. They got into some exchanges, and then all of a sudden, Tayfun scores a combo. He closes the distance, and instead of throwing the right hand straight, he loops it around the corner, scores the first knockdown over Muhammad Kamal. Kamal gets back up. Tayfun's on him again. Kamal goes down again. The next three rounds were just Tayfun getting into a long offensive flow and Muhammad Kamal not in it because of the early shot that he took that was hard, continuing to fight back. He's the reason why you want him in the cards all the time. Muhammad Kamal can fight. And he's going to fight, and he's going to show heart, and he's going to go back at you no matter what. Tayfun Askin did a great job of staying on him with combo flow. And as I mentioned before, that combo and the inside leg, the combo, very, very beautiful stuff. A couple more big shots with the hands, scored another knockdown. And the corner of Muhammad Kamal, Ivan Hippolyte, looked out for his guy and threw in the towel. And that's what you got to do. Like, hey, let's do it again. And Kamal could have got up. And Kamal did get up. Kamal could have kept fighting. Like, I think he could have even got to the decision. But I think that they were like, hey, it's not our day today. You got hit with something early and you were thrown off. Throw the towel in. Let's get back to the gym. We'll win the next one. Today's not our day. I love that you can do that in kickboxing and Muay Thai. The sport allows it so much more than I'd say the other combat sports. Usually, if it happens in other sports, it's such a, unless you're a superstar, it's like a career killer. You know, you've got, it's hard to bounce back from it. And I've seen it work so well, you know, in boxing. I remember with Lemieux in Canada, he had an early loss in his career, and his team, he didn't get like knocked down, but he was in bad shape and he looked like he was going to go, and they threw the towel in and they said, hey, blame it on me. I threw the towel in too early. You were able to go. Let's get back on the horse. And Lemieux ended up being a champion, a world champion in Canada, and a ticket seller. So they took the time and said, it's not our day. I told you guys when I watched the Contender Asia, there's a great scene where David Piquet is saying in the corner, pack it up, live to fight another day. It's not going your way. It's clearly you're just getting beat up. Those decisions need to be made sometime in people's career. And it doesn't mean it's the end of their career, especially in kickboxing and Muay Thai. In this situation, Muhammad Kamal, they really, really gave him an opportunity to fight despite the fact that he was hurt. But what Ivan realized, we're just taking shots, doing the towel, live to do it again. Good stuff by Ivan Hippolyte. Good stuff by Muhammad Kamal and his ability to fight and battle. Tayfun Askin, you know how I feel about him. He's one of the best fighters in the world. Anything's good for him. Put anybody in front of this guy, any elite level guy, I want to see how he does. Got the opportunity to train with him in Thailand. This kid is the truth. Like, he is very, very talented, very powerful. I'm not training with him in Thailand. Like, I'm in one ring on the Thai pads and he's in another ring on the Thai pads. So it's just getting that work in. So shout out to Tayfun Askin. There's a couple other ones on the card. I won't go through it all. Clyde Brunswick getting a victory over Fred Sicking. TKO stoppage in the third. Clyde Brunswick's always been a little inconsistent going against elite guys, as is Fred Sicking. Fred Sicking usually wins this kind of fight. Went Brunswick's way because of the cut this time. We have Kevin Henneken gets a victory over Shamil Aviazov. I believe that's right, Aviazov. We had a couple other ones. Knockout win for Martin Remigier. Remier against Ray Remier. I doubled up in the Remiers. That might be wrong in my notes. Please forgive me. But Martin gets a victory over Ray. Please forgive me. Yeah, just a couple other simple ones. Cyril DeJong and Orenta Vandervee. Vandervee's been in the game for a long time. So Cyril DeJong, you know, it's we got to have young stars and the female fight game emerge that not as many people know about. So definitely good stuff there. But man, that infusion, okay card, but the top of the card was the most important. Nothing more important than Askin continuing to win, keep that streak going, continue to be in great fights, and for people to be all about seeing him compete again. So go ahead and, I mean, there was a one, I guess there's a couple others that I always try not to leave no stone unturned when it comes to kickboxing because there's only so many of us in this game, so I will go ahead and hit up that 1FC card. There were a couple of kickboxing bouts on it. Tariq Kababez gets a victory over Ellen Nagalani, TKO and strikes. He just stayed on him, and if you've ever seen Ellen fight, he's this ripped-up guy from Africa that's been based in China for a long time. He is as muscular as can be. And if you let him fight in space, he will just throw a power leg low kick. Doesn't care if you check or not. He will just throw it with all of his might, and he will throw power punches with all of his might. He's only struggled to get kickboxing flow. So if he can't get you out of there with the power single leg or single low kick and the power punches, if you pressure and throw combos, you're probably going to get him. And I always wondered, why wasn't this guy better? And then I just kept seeing more and more of his fights, and I was like, okay, he wins when you stand in front of him. If you ain't standing there, you're usually going to have some success. Or if you're walking him down, like you don't care about his low kicks and you're throwing power, you're probably going to have some success. He then became a guy who beat the people that he was a better athlete than. But if you were a good kickboxer who was tough, he'd have trouble with you. Enter Tariq Kababez. Kababez came out, closed the distance. The whole fight pretty much took place with Nagalani's back to the ropes, and he had to deal with the pressure of Kababez punches and bunches, knees, and then finally Allen got into trouble. Tariq scored a couple of knockdowns, and they stop it in the third over after a flurry. I mean, I want to see more of Tariq Kababez because, you know, Allen, like I said before, he's kind of like a middle-of-the-pack kind of guy, but it's always fun. It's always fun to see a guy who's willing to take that kind of punishment, close the distance, deliver his own punishment, and then kind of win the battle of wills and get a victory. So shout out to him. We also had Lordzilla getting a victory over Sukdai by split decision. Lordzilla, man, I'm telling you, it's when K1 came out, when they had that, I remember K1 USA, and they came over and they did the big show in LA, and they thought they were going to fill it up. And I remember I thought that he had made a name for himself because they had this tryout. And in the tryout, everybody went out to like this park in LA, like right by the beach, and they all hit mitts. And Lordzilla stole the show because of his mitt hitting. He gets an opportunity to fight, and then he loses in the fight. He didn't put on a great performance. He fought a bigger guy, but, you know, he lost. And since then, there'd be moments where I'm like, this guy's a killer. And then there are moments where I'm like, not sold. And then I think he had like a, you know, pretty much an easy KO victory, if I remember correctly, when he fought Lion Fight. And then other than that, just nothing consistent. When he goes against better guys, Lordzilla struggles. And this was a fight where he got the victory, so shout out to him there. But man, just not the kind of fight that really wins people over towards you. So we'll see more from Lordzilla down the road. Wins a tough split decision, and he's still beloved by a lot of people in the fight community. Last fight I'm going to talk about on the podcast is Petr Morakot gets victory over Fabrice Fairtex, TKO with the elbow in the second round. You know, this victory and just the fights and the way that they've been trying to slide in these kickboxing and Muay Thai bouts on one championship, it means a lot to me because I want to see more combat sports athletes get opportunity. So shout out to them for doing it. Shout out to all the people competed and that were mentioned on this podcast. I'm all about you guys getting your exposure and getting your opportunities. I love this sport. I love it. And anytime you get your hands raised, anytime you get to compete, anytime you get to fight on an international stage, put money in your pocket, and kickboxing and Muay Thai, I'm going to do my best to get you exposure and get you out there. So thanks, everyone, for listening. God bless, and have a good one. Peace.